this deep
Blog Talk kingdom. Radio.
Kingdom, I say. If you hear ya, where my Eden citizens at? Where my Eden citizens at? Where you at? Let me see if you can be like this.
Hallelujah. We are to live on top of the world. We need to let depression know that's not where we're at. We're on top of the world. We need to let poverty know that's not where we're at. We're on top of the world. Hallelujah. And if you haven't got yours, you need to go get it. Go and get it fast and get it in a hurry. That's why I like what Mary them said over there. Go get yours. Listen, brothers and sisters, you have to go get yours. It belongs to you, so go and get it. Okay. And start. Your season to get what belongs to you. Welcome to the Word at Noon. I am Lewis Beasley, Apostle Jesus Christ, called by the will of God to all the saints and faithful in Christ Jesus. That first song was Back to Eden. Time that we get back to Eden, get on top of the world, get back what God had already given us. We need to operate at that place and that level of understanding. We're going to have a word of prayer, and then we're going to get into the review. This review this week has pretty much been based on the fact that, the Lord did a lot of things this week, but we're limiting God in us. And that's what we're going to talk a little bit about, limiting God in us. We do that, not God. We do that, not God. That's something we do, and we need to stop it, I say. Stop limiting God in us and let God have full reign in us, okay? Father God, we come with thanksgiving in our hearts. We thank you for your word because it's in your word, Father God. We learn whose we are and who we are. I thank you, Father God, that we can dwell in you. I thank you, Father God, that your word declare and decree that we've been born again, not of corruptible seed, but of the incorruptible seed, which is your word. So I thank you for it, because it's in there, Father God. We learn that we've been forgiven of all our sins. We've been washed in your blood, even though our heads can't wrap around that, because your word said it and declare it. That make us a new creation, a new creature. It hadn't appeared what we look like. Doesn't matter what we look like. It's spiritual. Hallelujah. It's spiritual. So thank you, Heavenly Father, for that spiritual revelation, because the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 6:19, we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And I just believe it, Father God. I believe that we are the temple that you're concerned about today. We've been delivered from the power of darkness and translated into your kingdom, into the way you do things, into God's kingdom. We've been redeemed from the curse of the law of sin and death. According to 1 Peter 18:19, Galatians 3:13, we've been redeemed from the curse of the law. curses anybody harm. So Christ took care of our curses for us, and I thank you for letting him do that. And therefore, we can declare and decree that John 8, 31, 32 is free. It's true that we are free. And who the Father has freed, we're free indeed. And that makes us more than a conqueror. So I thank you, Father God, that we've been crucified. Just like Christ was crucified, we've crucified the flesh, and we're living in the spirit. I praise you for it. Thank you for it. Thank you, Father God, for this broadcast. Thank you, Father God, for those that will listen to it and get a revelated word from it, that they would test it and see it. It's from you, Father God, and it was something they can apply to their own life. So I thank you for that ability to do that. Thank you, Father, that we're able to walk in the Spirit as you're in the Spirit. We're able to let our light shine because you told us to in Matthew 5:14. I thank you, Father God, that we're content with what your word says according to Philippians 4 and 11. So I praise you for it. I honor you for it. I give you the glory and the honor. Ask you, Father God, right now, in the mighty name of Jesus, that you will break your bread of life with us. Somebody hear it and go, I yield. I can't take it no longer. Hallelujah. Okay, brothers and sisters, here we go. Anyone would like to have any comments on what was said this week? Anything, just press one. Hallelujah. Just press one, and we'll get into the broadcast. Hallelujah. I like the fact that God let us be free. Free to operate in his word. Free to speak his word without any hesitation, without any revelation, and without any reservation. We speak the word of God here, not to be a man pleaser, please the Father, which is in heaven. Hallelujah. Okay, anyone? If not, we started this week off. Hallelujah. We started this week off talking about, well, I like to jump on into Tuesday, because God have granted us access to his word. Brothers and sisters, you awesome that is. Matthew 16:19 says, and I have given unto you the keys. We know keys represent authority. When you got keys to your house, to your car, to wherever, that means you are in authority. That means you have access. Hallelujah. That's what that means. God has given us access. This is why we have, and grace also is part of that access that we have. 2 Corinthians 3:6 says that we are able ministers. We are able ministers. Access now. We have access to the kingdom. Whatever we bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever we loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. You have access. God gave it to you. How you know? Because the word of God says so. That's how you know. And you know, enough of this foolishness with people who don't want to go by the word of God and want to go by what they feel. I have people talk to me, and I just kind of rebuke them right then. I ask the Lord to forgive me, but then the Spirit says, why you want to be forgiven for speaking the truth? So I sort of like backed it up and took it back, so to speak, and said, well, okay, Lord, I won't have that spirit. Let it be far from me. Listen, brothers and sisters, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. The only thing going to keep you had a free mind and a free spirit is to stay in the word of God. Other than that, it's dangerous. Woo! say that, preacher. It's dangerous, man, to be out here in this world talking about the word of God and you ain't got scripture. The enemy, when I tell you the enemy is sharp, but you know what? As long as you standing on that word, you don't have to back up. You don't have to back up. Let God continue to work in you. Let God continue to be Lord of your life, because he is Lord. He is master. He is the controller. Please let that continue to happen. Stop limiting God in us. Amen? Amen. One scripture we touched on was John 8:29, where Jesus says, I always do those things that pleases him. That should be our testimony, that we always do the thing that pleases the Father. Once you have accepted that work, once you have accepted the things of the word, listen, brothers and sisters, you should always want to please the Father. You should always want to please him. Doesn't matter what Suzanne, Mary Sue, Johnny Walker, or any of the rest of them is doing. Yes, I did say Johnny Walker. I know where some of y'all heads went to, but it doesn't matter. Frank Walker, Bill Walker, Johnny Walker, all of them are saying to me, we're not trying to be a man pleaser. That's all I'm trying to tell you. We want to appease God, okay? And I'm going to be honest with you, brothers and sisters. For years, my heart didn't want to blast people, just didn't want to say what the word of God was saying, because I felt them. I felt what they were going through, like that was really more important than the word of God. But when you put the word of God, or prioritize it, that's what I should say. Once you prioritize it and make the word of God first in your life, then everything else becomes secondary. Everything else becomes nothing, because you're standing on the word of God. One scripture that we always say, and I think Evangelist Sharon just loved that scripture in Proverbs 3:5, with his trust in the Lord. And I know, Pastor, but let me tell y'all right now, that scripture been with me for a long time. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. I stick with that. Just like you guys love it, I love it. Because I'm going to be honest with y'all, I ain't got nothing else to trust. Man, if I don't trust the word of God, I'm done. I'm doomed. I'm done. Because half of these people, they won't teach you the truth. They'll teach you a bunch of heresy or a bunch of church stuff, get out of jail card stuff, but they won't teach you the truth. It takes the Holy Ghost to teach you the truth, and not man's theology, not the sociology, none of that. The only way you'll get the truth is through the Holy Ghost. God sent him here for to teach you the truth. And when you find out the truth, you run forward toward the truth. I'm going to tell you this. We become beautiful to him because of his nature. Not only does his nature give us life, but he gives us life more abundantly. He is building himself up in us. And I want to tell you, brothers and sisters, once you realize that, something will come over you and say, boom, yes, I'm in the family of God. So you began to speak God's language in everything. You began to thank him. Remember, he's the vine, we are the branches. So whatever the vine has, the branches have. So whatever language God is speaking, guess what? We speak that same kind of language. The life, divine life, has so developed in us that we become Jesus men and women. In our assembly, wherever you at, where two or three are gathered together on the broadcast, we must admit and we must submit to each other that we are what the Word of God say we are. And that's where we stand in it, okay? That's what we believe in. We have Jesus, men and women, who are going out into the world, touching and blessing and casting demons out and doing all sorts of things. But at the end of the day, they're allowing Christ to live in them. So if people are spreading the word of God, we as a new creation should be walking in the same thing and stop allowing Satan to limit the word of God in us. The Bible says, and God is able to make all abound toward you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound in every good work. He will give you his sufficiency. He will give you his whatever you need. Remember, all sufficiency. Well, what is that? That means everything you need to win a soul, God said, I've given it to you. And then Ephesians 2 says, he blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You got it all, buddy. You got it all. Just stop limiting God in you. And we have ignored this sense of reasoning. We've cast it down. We've given our recreated spirit the right way to the word of God. A lot of people need to do that, brothers and sisters. Just give, let your spirit man receive the things of God. Don't block it with your head. Don't block it with your reasoning faculties. It's easy to a burial and say, you know what? I ain't believing this. Unless I see, you know, like Doubting Thomas did. Unless I see it. He set up a wall. And he said, unless his eyes see it, his hand touch it, he ain't believing jack. That's what a lot of people are. They won't receive what God have already did. And that tells me something, too. When you look at life like that, you're not part of the vine. If you once were, you've been cut off and you hit the ground because you don't have any more life in you. Because a lot of times people start believing, then they stop. That's one thing I want to touch on next week. You got to believe with your heart, man. A lot of times people start believing with their heart, and as soon as the enemy comes, boom, strike them dead. Oh, no, this. Now all of a sudden it ain't God. It was God as long as he was feeding you. It was God as long as he was opening closed doors. It was God as long as he was pulling back the mask. It was God as long as he pulled back the prophetic curtain. It was God that who brought you out of situations that you prayed for. Now, and I know some of you. I know some of you pray, and God done delivered you. You need to count that as a blessing. Some of you could have got killed. Some of you could have been in an accident. And it's a wonder right now why you're still living. I know why. God. You didn't stop God from working in you. So stop limiting God. You've seen his work. You've seen his perfect work. You've seen how he handled business. He can be trusted. Sometimes you didn't even ask him, and he got you out of all kind of formalities and changes and life. He got you out of the mess. You can trust him. Now, start trusting him with his word. If he says whatever it is that he says to you, and it's in the word of God and the Holy Ghost, confirm it and affirm it. then you can say bless God and move on.
One thing I said I wanted to bring to you all's attention that happened Tuesday. I think it was Tuesday. Oh, yeah, I know what it was. It was Tuesday. We were talking about the things before the cross and the things after the cross. We didn't get into a real deep discussion of it, but we hit on it. And it needs to be discussed. You need to know where you're living at, what time it is. Well, are you living before the cross or after the cross? Well, let's start out with this. Matthew 4:4. To the mission, I live by bread alone, but by every word. So that's where we're at. We're living by the word of God. Now, since we've been living by the word of God, remember in Ephesians 2, the Bible says, now the Bible says, does that say, I just happen to know it's true. The Bible says, we have been dead to our trespass because of sin and because we didn't give God free reign, and we refuse to really let him just operate in us. The Bible said we were dead. And you have he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. You were dead. You was walking around like a zombie. The walking dead. That's the way America has been for too long. Walking dead. You see stuff. You hear stuff. You think you know stuff, walk around dead. But God said, you know, you have he quickened it, who were dead in trespasses and sin, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past, in the lust of the flesh, things in lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, were by nature the children of wrath. But God, ooh, hallelujah. But God, don't make me go there. I'm trying to be cool, man. But God, who is rich in mercy, I tell you he's rich in a lot of it, filthy rich in mercy, got all the mercy you need for his great love wherewith he loved us. Even when we were dead in sin, have he quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved. Listen, brothers and sisters, don't pick up no negative vibes with this. Know that at some point in time, you were not walking in the light as he's in the light. But God, who was just full of mercy, rich in it, had mercy on us and say, you know what? You can believe me now. You don't never have to believe the flesh. You don't never have to believe man. You can believe me. And through that, God quickened our spirit, brought it alive so we can serve a true and living God, not because of the letter, but because of the spirit. With that being said, there was an old and there's a new. Brothers and sisters, we are in the new. Please understand that. We're not of the old covenant. Hebrews 8:13. We're not of the old covenant. We are the new covenant. See, the old covenant meant you go to church, to a building. The new covenant means that you are the church. You're Christ's body. You're Christ's tabernacle. I told a sister the other day, I don't have no problem with people going to church. I have a problem with you all teaching the kind of doctrine you are in that building. And you got people thinking, oh, everything is predicated on the building. Well, if you get married, you got to come up here, and everybody in the building got to look at you and get a seal of approval. Who does that? It was on everything based on the building. Everything. It shouldn't be. That's moving God out of the way. They ain't telling them to go to God for counseling. They're not telling them to go to God for, you know, prayer and fasting. No, come to the building and that kind of foolishness. Listen, brothers and sisters, don't ever put no building before telling somebody to go see God. If you're going to tell them anything, tell them to go see God. Come and seek ye first the kingdom of God. Not go to no church, building. Tell sister the other day, talking about worshiping. Well, we just come up here to worship. Well, you can do what you want to do. But in John 4, I can tell you what God's looking for. He's looking for true worshipers who will worship him in the rain, who will worship him with or without a building. See, a lot of that stuff came from, well, a lot of people don't even know where it came from, but anyway, they think they do, but they really don't. It's more European than anything else. But that's another story for another day, another message. The high priest or the Pope want us to give praise to him and honor him as God's spiritual leader. But the Bible doesn't say that. In Hebrews 9 and 11, it says Christ is our high priest. Why? Because we're the temple. The old covenant had a temple, and the priest would go up in there. And the high priest would go up in there. We don't have to live that way any longer. We are his temple. Our high priest is Christ, man. Because, see, they teach you that you can't be perfect. And the New Testament doesn't teach that. I read over there in Matthew, I think it was 5 and 48, that be ye perfect even as your heavenly Father is perfect. Be perfect. It means more than being complete. To be perfect means that you're in Christ and his mercy and his grace endure forever. And it meaning that he takes the place of that. You know why? Because we don't live by the flesh. That's the old way. We live by the spirit. We live because we've been born again. According to 1 Peter 1:23, that's what's going on with us. We've been born again. That's why we're different. We wasn't born of the corruptible seed, but we've been born of the incorruptible seed, which is the word of God. See? The old covenant, and maybe I just should do some teaching on covenant. Because a lot of people don't realize the old covenant was a place and was listed as a I'm saved. Only in the New Testament that we recognize that we can walk in obedience. In the New Testament, you will automatically keep his commandment. You know why? Because of what's living in you. And if anybody tried to tell me that you got to have this and you got to have the new Old Testament laws, well, then they don't understand the word of God, because not the law of God was cursed, but the people who were trying to perform it, they was cursed, and they was cursed with the curse. And some people still don't get it. Well, if he said bring your tithes and offering into mine into the storehouse, well, where's the storehouse today? You know, there's not a church that I know of. Somebody, you know, I don't know everything. But there's a church I know of that have a storehouse. They don't have one. They don't have one. And if you don't know what it is, I'll tell you. I'll save you some time. You don't even have to do the research. A storehouse was a place where they put everything the farmers would grow, any livestock they would have. If they had a calf, the first one to go to the storehouse. And then they would feed those people. You know, they didn't have welfare. They They didn't have food stamps. They didn't have government assistance. They didn't have none of that. None of it. And they were depending on the priest and the high priest and those alike to collect goods and feed them. That's what they were depending on. Because that's how the Old Testament people did it. The New Testament, I'm not saying you have to depend on these other government assistance, but I'm saying God has provided a way, especially in America. If you hungry in America, it's because you choose to be hungry. If you don't have a place to stay, it's because you choose to. Because they got some places, and I'm the first to agree. Some of them are pretty rough. You might not even want your animal living there. I get all of that. But here's the thing. In America, all kinds of benefits, all kinds of programs. But that's for the flesh. I'm concerned about the spirit. Because when people tell me, oh, they can't stop sinning. They can't stop sinning. John 5:14 says you can. You can. But you see, when you've been born of the flesh, that is flesh. That's what flesh does. That's who flesh is. But when you've been born of the Word of God and you put on a new man, which is after holiness, nobody has to stop you from doing anything. Your desires are going to change. Well, why do you say that, preacher? Because you got a different nature now. You want to bless people. You want to see people happy. You're no longer in the old. It's no longer an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. But when they ask for your coat, you give them your cloak also. Required to love like Christ loved. That's evidence of the New Testament. But there again, I think the message is real interesting. There was a lot of things went forth this week. I think Wednesday, Ephesians 3:20 says, "Now to him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think." You can't think of anything that God can't do for you or won't do for you. Making you perfect is nothing when it comes to the things of God. So when this scripture is really understood and put into daily practice, you can know that you have arrived. At last, you are worthy member. I like to think you're getting ready. You're getting eternally ready. And because God's ability to take us from one degree to another is just awesome. Hallelujah. And we're going to leave it right there. We're going to... Yes, Pastor. Good evening, Pastor.
Good afternoon, Pastor. I've been enjoying the message, the word, the lesson that you've been going over. That last scripture you just quoted, Ephesians 3:20 from the Message Bible. It reads, God can do anything, you know, far more than you could ever imagine or guess or request in your wildest dreams. He does it not by pushing us around, but by working within us. His spirit deeply and gently within us. Amen, amen. That is so powerful.
Oh, absolutely.
So good to know.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. See, when you realize what God did for us, a lot of this he didn't even ask us. He went on and did it because he know we needed it. And that's
Put
a pin right there. He is able to do more than we can even ask or think. Well, why would he do that? Oh, because he God? No, because he's able.
Mm-hmm.
He's able to give us what we need. Look at it from a parent perspective. There are times that, especially you that raise your children, to try to do the best you can for them or whatever. That time they didn't have to ask you for a new pair of shoes. You went on and did it because you was able. There's time they ask you, you didn't have to ask you for certain food. You did it because you was able. You did it.
Amen.
Some of you looked and you saw a need. And then some of y'all doing it right now. You see a need for people and you do it. Well, that's what God did for us. He know there was a need for us to be like him.
Mm-hmm.
So the Bible says that he declared us right. Remember over there in Romans 3:24? The Bible says that we are not guilty. He says that we are justified. We've been declared not guilty. Justified means made right. He went on and did it. Didn't cost you anything.
Mm-hmm.
He did it, man.
Thank you, Lord.
He said, you know what? They need this. So let me go ahead on and declare that they're the righteousness of me. And then over in Romans 8:1, remember, he said, I don't condemn you. Therefore, there's no condemnation. Wait for it. There's no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walking not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So God said, oh, they need this. Let me go ahead and give them my righteousness so they don't be condemned. And then I like what he said in that second verse, too, in Romans 8. We are set free. Well, actually, what he said was, we are set free from the laws of sin and death. That's what he freed us from.
Thank you, Lord.
So who bewitched you that you should believe a lie rather than the truth? Some people are so easy. When you think about how able God is and what he did, in 1 Corinthians 1 and verses 2, he said, we are sanctified and made acceptable into Jesus Christ. We have access into Jesus Christ, man. Access is granted in Christ. Matter of fact, 1 Corinthians 1 and 30 says we are the righteousness of Christ and holy in Christ. He gave us that because he knew we needed it. He knew we shall have it. He knew we was robbed of it. See, you got to stop blaming yourself too, brothers and sisters. You came into a sinful world. Come on, let's be honest about it, okay? If you had anything to do with it, you might have changed some things. But you didn't have no choice of the matter. So, boom, you find yourself in a sinful world. And you learn later on you were doing sinful things, whatever that meant.
Yeah.
Wrong things. Well, you were born in a wrong world. So what should you expect? Nothing. But God. He saw us in that situation. And he said, you know what? I'm going to put me in them. If they'll get in my word and I get in them, well, they'll be like me. They'll have their eternal life.
Yeah.
See, man was fine in the beginning. If you remember, man was fine. We may have to go back to Genesis. Man was fine. Even when he was in the garden, he had control over everything. He didn't die. Not until he walked in disobedience. The flesh died. Then the soul followed. And if God didn't send some help, the spirit would have follow it too, and they all would, all three parts of you would have just died eternally. But God fixed that thing. See, when man fell, you know, it is evident that before man fell in the garden, now before his fall in the garden, his spirit dominated his reasoning faculty. He could think, he could reason. He wasn't going to die yet. He was able to reason because he told Eve, he said, God said, now in the day we eat of, we'll surely die. Well, but the serpent said, I know what the serpent said, but God said. And they chose to listen to what the serpent said. But if you stop and think about it, his body, man's body was eternally ready. Their spirit was eternally ready. Their mind was eternally ready. But when he sinned, his body became mortal and his spirit became a partaker of spiritual death. He separated from God and went to the other side. And literally, we know when we got here, this is the way it was. This is the hand we were dealt. But God provided a way. He provided a way that if we'll believe in our heart that God is aiding from the dead, he would present a way for us to escape out of these tragic moments and tragic situations. So now God said, okay, I'm going to hold you responsible because you know what my word says. So I got to hold you responsible now. Mm-hmm. You don't have to listen to the enemy. You can listen to me. You know my voice now. You know my voice, but you know your mother's voice. So, yeah, you can hear me now.
All right.
So now he expects things out of us.
Amen.
So, well, Lord, I got to pay for sin. He said, don't worry about it, son. It's been paid for. I love you, so I went on and paid it for you.
Yeah.
I got paper for you. 2 Corinthians 5:21. He made him to be your sin right there.
Thank
he said,
you,
after
Jesus.
I made Jesus to be your sin, boom, I shot you some righteousness.
Mm-hmm.
So you're the very righteousness now. He took your sin and gave you righteousness. It's up to you to walk in it, love it, care of it.
Thank you, Lord.
Take care of it. Crave it. Cling toward it. Walk toward it. Run toward it. The Bible says walk in the Spirit as he is in the Spirit. Mm-hmm. Walk in that thing, baby. Yeah.
Amen, amen.
So,
yeah.
God gave us all these things. Matter of fact, 2 Timothy 2:10 says he gave us his eternal glory.
Yeah.
And Colossians 2:11 says we are set free from our sinful nature. You're free of that. Let it go. Like a snake. A snake comes up out of that old skin and it don't look back at it.
Amen.
Let it go. Stop looking back. There's a problem in looking back. The Spirit's telling me right now, somebody continue to look back. God says, stop it. Stop looking back.
Yeah.
You didn't like that life no way. That's not what you really want. You took it and you accepted it because that's the way it was. But God said, it ain't that way now. I'm doing a new thing in you. You ain't losing nothing. You ain't going to miss nothing. I got something that lies ahead is greater. You can't even think or imagine. So do you want to play? Do you want to see this? What do you have? Well, let the old go so you can get the new.
Yeah.
And you know, I'm going to tell you this. The Spirit just spoke this in me. That's a waste of time anyway. We wasting time.
Mm-hmm.
Some of us right now know you ain't finna be with that person. No, you ain't going back to that job. No, you ain't going back to wherever it was, that social situation. You know, stop wasting your time with it. Let it go. Give it a decent burial and move on. You know, give it a decent burial and move on.
All right.
Well, I'm going to leave it right there. Anybody else have anything they want to share? Hallelujah. Any scripture at all?
The pastor reading Romans 8, verses 1 through 5 from the Message Bible. It says, with the arrival of Jesus, the Messiah, that fatal dilemma is resolved. Those who enter into Christ's being here for us no longer have to live under a continuous low-lying black cloud. A new power is in operation. The Spirit of life in Christ, like a strong wind, has magnificently cleared the air, freeing you from a faded lifetime of brutal tyranny at the hands of sin and death. God went for the jugular when he sent his own son. He didn't deal with the problem as something remote or unimportant. In his son, Jesus, he personally took on the human condition, entered the disordered mess of struggling humanity in order to set it right once and for all. The law code weakened, as it always was, by fractured human nature, could never have done that. The law always ended up being used as a band-aid on sin instead of deep healing of it. And now, what the law code asked for but couldn't deliver is accomplished, as we, instead of redoubling our own efforts, simply embrace what the Spirit is doing in us. Those who think they can do it on their own end up obsessed with measuring their own mortal muscle, but never get around to exercising it in real life. Those who trust God's actions in them find that God's Spirit is in them, living and breathing God. Obsessed with self in these matters is a dead end. Attention to God leads us out into the open, into a spacious, free life. Amen. Focusing on self is the opposite of focusing on God. Amen, amen. I read a little further. Amen. Praise
Amen.
God, praise God.
Hallelujah. Anyone else? Thank you so much, Pastor. I appreciate it. Awesome. This brother says, I'm going to tell you, if I tell you that, just, I keep telling people this, go to God. The Lord, you know, I just got a word troubling my spirit. I like to affirm it and confirm it. That this is a word for me and from you. And if so, Lord, let me be satisfied with it. See, this is God's word. Now, I ain't talking about a bunch of stuff folks say. I'm talking about his scriptures. This is what you want to be confirming and affirming in you. Hallelujah.
Amen. Praise God.
Yeah. Anyone else? You have anything else, Pastor?
You just got to trust him at his word, Pastor. That's what the word of God says. And I know, like, and when you praying, and we go to God in prayer, and then you can ask God to show it to you right in the word, and he'll bring you right to the scripture.
Yes, he will.
So we
yes, he will.
Trust him. Mm-hmm. Thank God. Thank God for his word. Thank God for the teachings too, Pastor.
The praise God. To God be the glory.
Amen.
Anyone else? Hallelujah. If not, we're going to see y'all on tomorrow for the word at noon.